It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. It's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcasts, our most recent op-eds. I'll be recording a podcast with Dr. Jill Vecchio here later this morning that will roll out in the newsletter this weekend, and then that will be on the website. So be sure and check that out. I wish each and every one of you, our listeners, a very Merry Christmas. Today, take care of yourself. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And each of you, you're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose, and go out and do that today. And I want to say thank you, Merry Christmas, to this great team that I get to work with as well, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Merry Christmas to you, Steve.
Thank you. And, you know, when you do that, you know, I get my title put in, but someday I'd like to go through and address each one of those persons and just briefly say what they do.
Okay, that's a good idea. That'll be at one of our New Year's resolutions, is to let everybody know what everybody does.
Yeah.
And we've pre-recorded everything for next week, and I tell you, it is a rich group of shows that we have put together for everybody, Steve.
Well, we were kind of joking with Bill Federer yesterday. You just out of the blue, you said, well, I am the president of his fan club. And yes, Bill will be with us, but also Dr. Alan Gelzo. And both of those guys, I mean, I put them as bookends on the shelf of great American history. And each one of those guys is, you know, you just need to hear them.
Well, they're really important shows. So on Monday, Ben Martin, who is a patriotic historian, former Army Ranger, will be talking about Lincoln, the Emancipation Proclamation, the Gettysburg Address, his second inaugural address, really good stuff. And Dr. Alan Gelzo, Princeton professor, on the American Mind on Tuesday. Wednesday, a friend of a friend from the Netherlands, who is with the Best Defense Foundation. They take World War II veterans back to the battlefields, and we'll talk about Battle of the Bulge, because the Battle of the Bulge in World War II occurred over Christmas time. And then on Thursday, Chris Stefanik with Real Life Catholic will be the meaning of Christmas. And then you mentioned Bill Federer on Friday. We'll be talking about Washington crossing the Delaware, the Battle of Trenton, the Battle of Princeton, Divine Providence, and how Divine Providence has had his hand on us since the beginning, and then some really interesting stories about women in the Revolutionary War as well. So really great shows planned for you next week, and I hope that you enjoy them. Our quote for today, as we're going to be talking a little bit later today with one of my partners, and that is Roger Hayes with Premier Employer Services. And there are things coming down the pike that are really detrimental to everyday hardworking people, small business people. So we'll talk with him about these forced minimum wage increases, the paid family leave proposition that was passed this last election season, increased unemployment taxes, and a potential equal pay legislation. And it's important that we understand those things. And we'll talk with him in segments 3 and 4. We'll talk with Patty Kurgan, our researcher, here in just a moment. She'll give us an update on what's happening with the presidential battleground states. But we also wanted to talk about this whole thing with VF Corporation, regarding what they did with one of our oil and gas companies. It's important to, I think, really look at that. And then in the second segment, Sonia Riggs is the president and CEO of the Colorado Restaurant Association. She'll give us a status on what's happening in the industry. You won't want to miss that as well. But since we're going to be talking with Roger, I thought entrepreneurship, again, that is a place that I wanted to go, and found a really interesting quote from Robert Schuller, who was an American Christian televangelist, pastor, motivational speaker, and author. In his 5 decades of television, Schuller was principally known for the weekly Hour of Power television program. which he began hosting in 1970 until his retirement in 2010. He was born in 1926. He died in 2015. And he said, tough times never last. Tough people do. With what we're going on and is what's going on in America right now, I think that that is pretty important to understand that. Patty Kirkin, our researcher, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
There's a lot going on out there, but before we get into the update on the battleground states right now, you and I were talking more about this whole thing with VF Corporation. They're the parent company of North Face, Smart Wool, a whole bunch of different companies. And there was a oil and gas company that wanted to buy some of the North Face jackets that they were going to give to their employees for Christmas. And the VF Corp denied them from doing that, saying that saying that Innovex did not meet their criteria. And then apparently what had happened, the CEO of Innovex, he wrote, I think it was a piece in the Greenwood Village-based, let's see, which letter was that?
I think it was called, it was in the Villager.
In the Villager, okay.
Yeah.
And you and I were talking about this, that VF Corp, I think people don't understand all of the products that have petrochemicals in them. And you brought that up, and I think it's important for us to highlight that. What are some of them, Patty?
Mm-hmm. Well, when you think North Face, the first thing that goes to my mind is skis in the ski industry. So skis, the ski boots, the jackets that they wear, your ski pants, they all have petrochemicals in it. And even, again, VF in the North Face is an outdoors firm that you think of, right, providing goods.
Mm-hmm.
So what about, like, the fishing rods? And when people do fly fishing, the boots that they wear, tennis rackets, tents, they all have petrochemicals in it. So if you're that adamantly opposed to the industry, then take those all out of your products, and then we'll see what kind of products you really have. And then, so you have that element of it, but then you have the transportation element as well. So to get these goods to the consumers, they have to transport it somehow. A lot of times it's via boat over the ocean. You have to fuel the boats when they get here. You have trucks. A lot of times planes are used. That's all, again, fuel, petrochemical fuel. So you're not going to be able to transport your products unless you go back to wagons and see how long it takes you to get your product to market. So there's a lot of hypocrisy there. And if you want to ban the industry, then ban it across the board and don't use it, including even your manufacturing process. See how far you get with turbines or solar energy.
Well, and when we say ban, if VF Corp, as you mentioned, if they're taking the stand against the oil and gas industry, government should not come in and ban this. Actually, the CEO of VF Corp, he could actually step up and he could say, we're not going to use, as you mentioned, any petrochemicals in any of our products. We're not going to use the transportation industry to get our products to market. And then Brad Beck had an excellent point yesterday. He said, how about you don't use the elevator at your office? You turn your lights off. You don't use that. So I'd like them to really step up and really walk their talk. The other thing, Patty,
and we're talking on phones. Your cellular phones, they all have petrochemicals in it. So throw it in the garbage can, all those people who don't want the oil industry. Get rid of it. See how you're going to communicate then. You're going to say, oh, I'm going to go use my computer. Guess what? Your computer, keyboard, all that has petrochemicals in it.
Good point, Patty. Your eyeglasses,
and contact lenses. Again, they have petrochemicals in it. Tell me how well you're going to see.
Yeah. Hydrocarbons actually make our lives a whole lot better. But the other thing that just really burns me, and that is this whole economic development thing. VF Corp received $27 million in tax incentives. So I don't know exactly how the deal was planned, and they typically don't let us know all the details of that. They should, because this is government and big business. We the people should be able to see what the deal actually looks like. But the headlines do say they received $27 million in economic incentives. What that means is there was some tax bill somewhere that they're not going to have to pay. Who else pays for that?
Right. Well, a lot of it has to do with job incentives. And this package did include job incentives, quote, air quotes here. And that means that they're going to bring about 100, I'm going to take a number because I don't remember, 150 new jobs, which to me, that's incorrect because a lot of times all they do is hire somebody in Colorado anyways from another firm and bring it over. So to me, that's not a creation of a new job. A creation of a new job would be helping somebody who's unemployed or wants to move up the ladder. And you've given them this new position. But just transferring people from one company to another, it's not a new job.
Well, the other thing is it was 800 jobs. I figured it out. It was just under $34,000 per job. But think about your other employers out there that also then need to compete in the labor market. Here, this company over here has gotten a $34,000 marker for their employees. What about the guy over here that has it? And then when we're talking with Roger, you've got the legislature and then some of the legislation that we passed that is making it more difficult for people to create jobs. And so VF Corp gets and what they get is they get some kind of a tax break if they bring in this many jobs, $27 million. And,
and who makes up that difference?
We do.
We do, the taxpayer.
We do.
Somebody's going to pay for it. Exactly, us. Because we are the ones that pay the taxes. It's our money. So a lot of times businesses, small business owners, end up supporting the large corporation through this kind of tax manipulation. And as we have always said, the best thing to do is just cut taxes across the board for everybody. You know, the left always talks about being equitable. How much more equitable can you be if everybody pays the same thing?
Well, absolutely. One other thing to mention with VF Corp is Smart Wool was, I think, located up in Steamboat Springs when VF Corp came to Colorado with those $27 million in incentives. They brought Smart Wool over to the Front Range, and that really affects these small communities when you take a business out of that. So it did not help the economy over in Steamboat and Rout County because those jobs went away. Patty, we went long on this. Quickly, what are the latest things on the battleground states that you want people to know?
Yeah, quickly, all I want to say to the listeners is it's time for everybody to stand up and rise. You have to become your own person, and instead of getting fed by the mainstream media, go to good sources like the Epoch Times. They have great articles about the dueling electors right now and the possible Chinese factor in our elections. Go read about it yourself. And not only just read, listen firsthand to a lot of the video clips that you can find online. Rand Paul's comments a couple days ago in regards to the election, the mainstream media took it way out of context. It wasn't what he said. So go to the primary source. We can report the news to you. I think it's best, though, that you go to primary sources. It takes time, but you'll be more knowledgeable and you'll be able to speak about this on better terms with your friends and your family, and you will help the movement.
Well, and we do recommend that you listen to the show every day because we pack a whole bunch of stuff in here. But to go more and more in depth, you found that the Epoch Times is really working towards journalistic integrity. And we have a relationship with them as well as far as getting guests on the show. So that was working out really well. Patty Kurgan, I thank you for all that you do. And I wish you and yours a very, very Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you and Steve and all our listeners.
Okay. Thank you, Patty. We're going to go to break. But before we do that, Hooters Restaurants is another one of my great partners. They have five locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, Colorado Springs. Last night, Steve, I ordered and had it delivered to home the wings with the Texas dry barbecue rub. You talk about delicious. They were absolutely delicious. So they have all kinds of specials, to-go specials. But obviously, if you want to have it delivered to your front door, you can do that as well. Go to Hooters Colorado for more information. That's HootersColorado.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be with Sonia Riggs.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, KimMunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests as well as our podcasts and our op-eds. And there's going to be some really good stuff again this week. So be sure and sign up for that. I am really excited to have on the line with me Sonia Riggs. She is the president and CEO of the Colorado Restaurant Association. And with all this COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption by the government and bureaucrats, by politicians and bureaucrats, our restaurant industry is really being assaulted, I think. And Sonia Riggs, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks. Happy to be here.
It is breaking my heart as I am seeing these different restaurants and bars and taverns struggle. What is the state of the industry right now, Sonia Riggs?
Oh, my goodness. You know, this industry has been devastated. They have been facing restrictions for the last 10 months, and it's just getting worse. We did a recent survey, and 24% of restaurants told us that they are considering closing within 1 month if their indoor dining is closed. We have now seen, I think, 28 or so counties in the state be in the red level, which closes indoor dining. And so this is really concerning. You know, if this continues, I think we're going to see a hard winter. And coming into next spring, I don't think our neighborhoods will look the same as they did last year.
I think people have taken for granted just the freedom to be able to go to your favorite bar, restaurant, or tavern, winery, and enjoy time with friends and family. And if we don't do something, we need to get this whole thing opened back up. And if we don't do something about this, we are going to not have our favorite restaurant around the corner. And I don't want that to happen. So,
well, yeah, and let me just say this too. You know, think about it. It's not just your restaurant, it's all the people they employ. I mean, in typical times, the restaurant industry is 10% of the workforce. So we have lost, we estimate, about 65,000 jobs in the state of Colorado over the last 10 months. That's a really big problem.
That is really a big problem. Are restaurants causing a COVID-19 spread?
You know what? Not according to the data that we're finding, and we have yet to have somebody show us data that does show that. In fact, we're seeing quite the opposite. When we've both analyzed the state data, when we've talked to local public health officials, when I've talked to colleagues around the United States, everyone's seeing the same thing. We're seeing that most of the spread is happening from private gatherings. Obviously, we're also seeing problems with long-term care facilities, prisons, other places where there's you know, folks that really need to be very close to each other. But we're just not seeing it from restaurants.
And you said something I think is really important, that you have not had data that has been presented to you by politicians and bureaucrats that proves what they're saying or using to close down these restaurants. That's a really important point, Sonia.
You know, it is. And in fact, what they show us over and over again is modeling, not actual data. And so, you know, that's a real issue. So, you know, one of the things that I think people should remember as well, that restaurants are already uniquely qualified to keep people safe. And many have gone above and beyond during the COVID pandemic to add even more, to take even more steps to keep both their guests and their employees safe. But, you know, they have training on food safety, alcohol safety, and this is something that they do for a living all the time. So it wasn't a big step to ask restaurants to take these extra precautions, because they're already doing it every day.
Well, and I look at the expense that these restaurants are going to try to stay open, the heat lamps and the outdoor things that they're building, or these different tents that they're having to purchase, the expense for these businesses that are already struggling. And then we've got other public policy things coming down the pike. For example, a forced increased minimum wage. There's all kinds of things that are making it so difficult for our bars and restaurants. I wanted to talk just a little bit about this five-star certification. And I'd heard about it. It came out of Mesa County. I have great regard for Rose Puglisi. She is a Mesa County commissioner. And I know that what they're trying to do is come up with a plan so that our restaurants and bars and taverns and wineries can all get open up. But as I am looking at this, and I've really got to dissect this later today, this is really onerous, and what it is, what it does for the business. I just can't believe it, Sonia.
Yeah, I mean, well, first let me say we're at least pleased to see that government realizes finally, to some degree, that these businesses need to be open and that they are a public service. But yeah, I agree. I mean, this program is a bit cumbersome, and that's one of the things that we're worried about is the biggest thing is the difficulty that it's putting on the counties, which are having to in order to make this go, are having to do in-person inspections to every single one of these businesses, which could take,
terrible. Well,
first of all, a tremendous amount of manpower, a lot of money, and the biggest concern is time. Are they going to be able to get these businesses certified in a fast way? That's you know, if they can't get the program done for 3 to 4 months, that's not going to help anybody.
Right. And government is not the answer on this. So let's get these bars and restaurants opened up. I'm going to make some comments tomorrow in my podcast regarding this whole certification. I need to get my brain around it. But initially, I'm like, oh, this is great, trying to figure out how to get them open. And then as I was looking at it, it's like this is not a good thing. So I'll have my opinion on that tomorrow. What is the Colorado Restaurant Association doing to try to help these restaurants and bars and taverns that are struggling?
Well, first of all, let me say that the biggest thing that restaurants have told us they need is cash and capacity. So not only have we been fighting to try to get the restrictions loosened, obviously we want to keep people safe, but to try to get restrictions loosened where we can. But obviously we're fighting hard for a second round of stimulus at the federal level, support where we can at the local and state level. You know, one thing we've been asking our legislators to do is when you go back in the legislative session in January, really think about this industry and placing additional burdens, as you had mentioned earlier, and bureaucracy on them is not the way to do that. That's not going to be helpful. We need to find other ways to support these industries that are suffering so much. One of the other things that we've been doing is we've raised about $1.9 million with mostly private companies to give out to restaurant workers who are unemployed or underemployed at this time. We're continuing to raise money and give that out. And then we've also been working with the governor's office on raising about $2.2 million to give out to restaurants to help winterize their outdoor patio spaces with, you know, help them buy heaters and tents. You had mentioned that they don't have a lot of money. The average restaurant has said that they're down 40% year over year. In fact, some are down as much as 90%. So they just don't have the money to be able to, expand by putting money into heaters and tents and other things outdoors. So they really need that help.
Well, and actually, the main thing is for government to get out of the way instead of taking government money and doling it out because what the government decisions has been what has affected this. Let's get these bars and restaurants and taverns and wineries opened back up. What can we do, though? What can the public do to help help this industry?
Well, thank you. Now is the holidays. I think just remembering to dine out where you feel comfortable doing so. Using takeout and delivery as an option. In fact, the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment told us early on that they thought that takeout and delivery could be a safer alternative to getting your food than going to the grocery store when you get it from a restaurant because you can actually do it contactless. Thinking about things like purchasing gift cards for people, giving them a nice tip as a thank you when you're picking up that food. These people are just really, really struggling. And consider contributing to one of those grant funds. Most of that money that we have been giving out is from private sources. A large majority of it is. And they can go to www.cooutdoordining.org or corestaurant.org to find information about both of the funds.
Okay. And I really do encourage people to do that. I had Hal Van Herke on Wednesday, who is a small business owner. And that's exactly what he said is, let's make sure that we are patronizing these local businesses and take out instead of cooking. Get some takeout and would highly recommend that. And, of course, one of my great partners, Hooters Restaurants, they have all kinds of to-go specials. You can check that out at HootersColorado.com. Sonia Riggs, thank you so much for joining us. Let's stay in touch, and let's get these bars and restaurants and taverns and wineries open back up. And thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you, Kim. I appreciate it.
And Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, I tell you, it is just breaking my heart what is happening to a number of our restaurants and our bars and our taverns and our wineries. We've got to get these businesses open back up.
Well, it certainly would be better. However, as I've expressed my opinion, I think the left would much rather get rid of as many small businesses as possible and have the large corporations pick up that business, because it's easier to control a big company.
You've nailed it. Absolutely. Yeah. Big business, big government, like each other. And we need to really stand for these small businesses. And I thought Sonia had some really good ideas on how to support them. Go ahead, Jason.
No, go ahead.
Well, I've been thinking about our conversations regarding these Roth IRAs or these Roth accounts. And as we look into the future, we don't know for sure what is going to happen. But if, in fact, it is a Harris-Biden administration, you are guaranteed that your taxes are going to go up. And these Roth IRAs right now, between now and the end of the year, you know what that tax rate is. It sure seems like it makes sense to me for people to consider at least moving a portion of some of their investments over to that.
You know, that's certainly a good possibility, Kim. Another thing in that same vein to think about is right now the tax on long-term capital gains is a 15% tax for many people. But for some, and many as well, that tax can be a 0% tax, Kim, as long as you're still in the 15% bracket. Any long-term capital gains are taxed at zero, and that could certainly change as well. So, for example, if you own stock that you've had for a long, long, long time, and you've been reticent to sell it because you don't want to pay the taxes, well, it really depends on what other income you have coming in. You know, if you're retired and you're getting Social Security mostly and just a few dividends, you'd be surprised how much of a capital gain you can create, literally in the tens of thousands and still pay absolutely no tax on that gain or any of your Social Security. So that could be a get-out-of-jail-free card, Kim, to be able to monetize some of that stock you've held forever and do something else you want with the money without fear of a giant tax bill.
Could you contribute to a Roth IRA? If you took those capital gains this year, can you then contribute to a Roth IRA?
That's a great question, Kim, and the answer is yes, as long as you still have earned income. So you have to have, you can't use like dividends or whatever to count for earned income. You have to actually be working, W-2, 1099 of some type. And if that's the case, if you have any kind of substantial earned income, it depends how much is the earned income plus the capital gain to still keep at the 0% tax rate. But absolutely, theoretically, somebody that was working part-time, does the sale, still pays a 0% tax rate. As long as they have earned income, they can take some of those proceeds and make a Roth contribution for both yourself and your spouse.
I would recommend people sit down with you between now and the end of the year and take a look at that, sooner versus later for sure. But there are things that you can do to protect your hard-earned money. Jason McBride, we have pre-recorded everything for next week. We've got some great great conversations with you on that. But I do recommend that people reach out to you. 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And I wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas.
Right back at you, and right back at Steve, too.
Okay. Thanks, Jason. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Roger Hayes with Premier Employer Services.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Roger Hayes. He is the owner of Premier Employer Services. He's also a partner of the Kim Munson Show. And Roger Hayes, welcome to the show, and thank you so much.
Morning, Kim. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Tell us just a little bit about Premier Employer Services.
So we're a full-service professional employer organization, or PEO for short. And what we do is partner with small to mid-sized companies, mostly in Colorado, but we do have clients all over the country. And what we do is we take over the back office headaches for most employers, because nobody goes into business to fill out paperwork for government. So
right.
We do a lot of compliance for people, take care of their payroll, their benefits administration. We provide health insurance programs, 401k retirement plans, different things like that for them, so that we can give them what typically in the industry is called the Fortune 500 type benefits that large companies offer to their employees. And we can bundle those and offer them to the smaller and mid-sized employers so that they can become a little bit more competitive. Then we also manage their HR needs, handbooks, job descriptions, help them hire, train, those kind of things. And workers' comp, we help them with that as well. So that's what we do to kind of take a lot of that hassle off their plate. You know, you start a company, you want to manufacture something, or you want to provide a service better at a more competitive cost. And within a few minutes after you've hired your first few employees, you realize that you're spending the majority of your day complying with statutes, filling out paperwork and things like that. And you're not really doing what you wanted to do. So we come in and take that over for them. It's much more cost effective for them than hiring their own folks, because we can, we can combine things together for a lot of different employers.
Well, and how can people reach you, Roger Hayes?
Well, online, www.premieremployerservices.com. Or they can obviously call the office here, 303-221-0558. My extension is 101 if they want to reach me directly. And then they can always email me too, rhayes@premieremployerservices.com. Those are the three quickest, easiest ways to get a hold of me. And then we can discuss compliance issues. And Lord knows we have a lot of those coming up, don't we?
Well, and that is the thing. You mentioned small business, mid-sized business. We've had this whole COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption, which has been very difficult. But and that a lot of that's been created because of the reaction of government to this. But there are things coming down the pike here for small to mid-sized businesses. here in Colorado that are very concerning. Let's start to go through some of those. Forced minimum wage. I think there are people that think that it's very charitable to pay people more to work. Yeah, I guess that sounds like a good idea. However, when government gets involved and starts to use force and coercion, what happens is there's actually effects to that. And address that with the forced minimum wage, Roger Hayes.
We're probably going to see a lot more of you've heard in other states, and the city of Denver has done it as well, and I believe Aurora too, the $15 an hour minimum wage push. So that's going to become, I think, a statewide issue for us now with the Colorado legislature being very, very firmly in the hands of the Democratic Party. And it's something that it makes folks feel really good. They think, hey, we're going to force everybody to pay $15 an hour or more. There's talk that 15 is just the starting point. They really want to go a lot higher. And it's a fuzzy, feel good, hey, let's get that up there so people can have a living wage. But as you know full well, and so do probably most of your listeners, when you raise minimum wage to $15 or $20 an hour, the costs of goods and services will go up accordingly. So it's a monster. It's that tail you're always chasing. You can never catch that thing because you raise to $15 an hour, goods and services go up. The people that are making $15 an hour now have to pay more for gas. They have to pay more for food, everything else. And all of a sudden, the $15 is exactly where they were at when they were getting paid $12 an hour. And so that's one of the big issues that we have, right, as employers, because your costs just keep going up. And for some reason, people think that they can raise minimum wage and there is no corresponding or corollary to the cost of goods and services. And it's kind of crazy. Now, Colorado does have mandated minimum wage increases already. So starting January 1st, minimum wage in Colorado will rise to $12.32 automatically. And that's because we do have constitutional provisions to have a kind of a cost of living increase. So we're going to see a jump to $12.32 on January 1st as it is. Denver is going to jump to $14.77. So they're almost to $15, just for themselves. And then they break the $15 barrier on January 1st of 2022 when their minimum wage goes to $15.87. And those costs, that just makes it harder and harder for the employers. That's where people start getting their hours cut back. That's where people start getting let go because it's just too expensive to hang on to them.
I always
it's
call
really
forced
tough in the restaurant business.
Yeah, forced minimum wage. I call it the Youth Unemployment Act because many times young people cannot get that entry level job because they don't have the skills. They don't have the people skills, and an employer to have to pay that much, they just won't hire them. And I tell you, that first job, Roger Hayes, has been a springboard for so many of us. And I think it's cruel to take away that opportunity through a forced minimum wage.
I agree. It makes it really tough. And that's one of the decisions that employers have to make is if I have to pay $15 an hour as an employer, if I've been running a staff of 20 employees, now I may only be able to have a staff of 15. Because let's be honest, you can't pass on all of that $15 an hour to your consumer, because if you just immediately raise your costs, especially in the restaurant industry, if a dinner costs $13, you can't just very easily raise that to 20. People will balk at it in the beginning, and it'll hurt you. So the decision that most employers make is I'll do more with less. So they start cutting staff, and that's where the lower end folks with the least amount of training or the least amount of experience really get hurt. And that's what the proponents claim is we're going to help those folks, especially by jumping them up to $15. And they're the ones that get hurt the most by that.
It's really
an interesting conundrum.
Well, it is. The reality is totally different from the rhetoric on that, Roger Hayes. Let's go to the next one that is of great concern, and that is this paid family leave proposition that was passed by the people of Colorado this last election season.
So that one's a big one because That one creates an entire new division within the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment. And it's going to be a big, huge, monstrous department to manage and enforce this new act. And basically what's going to happen is employers are going to have to give their employees up to, I believe it's 6 weeks of leave. And it's, you know, for birth, adoption, or placement of a child through a foster care program, serious health conditions. If you've got to care for a family member, you can take time off. There's some other leaves that'll kick in. And then, the one that I actually really like is the leave due to domestic violence, because it gives people an opportunity to take some time off and find somewhere to live and get themselves in a better spot if they're subjected to domestic violence. But the problem with the whole program is it's going to become an incredibly expensive proposition for employers and employees, because as of right now, it's a 50-50 split on the cost. And so in order to manage this, there's going to be a new, and they don't use the word, but it literally is a tax. It's going to be just like the head tax in Denver and Aurora, where the employer pays part, the employee pays part. And that's going to be kicking in. Now, it's not immediately. The payments don't begin until January 1st, 2023. The program itself doesn't kick in until January 1st, 2024. But that's to give them time to start building up a fund in order to pay for the claims as employees start to put in for this leave time. The initial cost is going to be 0.9%, and then you split that in half, 0.45 for the employer and 0.45 for the employee. Sounds great, but after just 2 years, the head of this department is going to be able to raise those rates.
Could you believe
whenever
it?
They think that they need to. So, and it's not a raise that goes to the voters. It's not a Tabor issue. They've got it set up so that the head of the department, whoever gets appointed by the governor to run that program, they get to raise it whenever they think they need to. And the other problem that I have with it, and it scares me to death, is there's no guarantee that it always has to be a 50-50 split between the employer and the employee. And knowing a lot of the people that were proponents of this program, they're going to really want the employer to pick up the bigger piece of the tab as we go forward. So we could see some pretty significant increases in the cost of that as we get into 2025, 2026 down the road. It's possible that they're going to look at it and say, there's nowhere near enough money to cover all of this. We need to jack those rates up, do it quickly. Let's put most of the onus on the employer and let them pay for it.
Well, and if the employer has to pay more of this tax, and this is a payroll tax, and just think about it. I know a lot of people out there that would prefer to have that 1% themselves versus having to pay this tax for this. But once again, when you start to make your employees, your workforce more expensive, what happens is people hire less people. And there is such dignity in work. I had mentioned that next week on Tuesday, we did an interview with Dr. Alan Gelzo, who is a professor at Princeton, about the American mind. And the American mind it builds things, it innovates, it creates the dignity of work. And what happens with all these kinds of policies is it makes work, people that are offering work, people that are creating jobs and creating work for people, it makes it more difficult and it makes it more expensive. And that is so antithetical to the American idea, Roger.
Well, it is. And it makes it so much harder to employ. And one of the things that I've spent a number of years trying to get legislators and other concerned people to understand, and I'm not alone. There's a lot of employers and associations that try to do this as well. But these things don't happen in a vacuum. Colorado employers are not looking at a brand new program that's going to cost possibly 0.9% split in half between them and the employee. They're looking at paying for that. And then you just mentioned the forced minimum wage. So their minimum wage is going to go up. Unemployment taxes are going to go up, especially with the COVID issues we have. There's a lot of other things that are being pondered for the 2021 legislative session And all of these things pile up on top of each other. It's just like you lay one card on the table, that's not so bad, but you keep stacking cards on top of it. And it gets to be harder and harder for those employees to keep their jobs. Employers are going to start looking at it going, okay, I've got minimum wage going up, I've got this other thing going up, my insurance costs are going up, I'm really going to have to cut back on staff. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly what we talked about with the forced minimum wage, only it's compounded because you're adding all of these programs on top of each other, and it becomes damn near impossible for somebody to pay for it all. They just can't afford it anymore. And the number one place, the number one cost for employers is labor. And so you start cutting back on that labor, which means fewer people getting fewer jobs, which means more people that are unemployed, which means more people that are filing for unemployment, which means unemployment has to go up. And it just becomes this vicious cycle where we just can't ever get ahead of it anymore.
And Roger, before we go to break, I'm talking with Roger Hayes. He is the owner of Premier Employer Services. I want to just mention one other thing. Patty and I talked about it in the first segment regarding VF Corp, which has North Face and Smart Wool and a variety of different products. The Colorado Office of Economic Development gave them $27 million in incentives. So here you've got government saying to one company, you're not going to have to pay some of these taxes that are going to be due if you hire people or whatever. Yet then you also have government, that which is almost like death by a thousand cuts of these other businesses that these PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties are picking winners and losers. And the other thing before we go to break, because we'll come back and talk about the unemployment taxes, and you hit on this, Roger, and that is why we took one of the reasons we took a strong stand in our voter's guide to vote no on this paid family leave act or proposition, is what you mentioned, that there is, with embedded in that question, it gave the power to an unelected bureaucrat to be able to increase these quote-unquote fees, taxes, with basically no oversight. They're not accountable to us, and they don't have to go through Tabor. And you talk about danger, danger. Then that was one of the reasons that we came out as a hard no on that. Roger, your final thought on that, and then we'll go to break.
That's one of the biggest issues. Is it sounds really good up front. They did a really nice job of selling it, forgetting that most employers already offer benefits like this in Colorado. There's a slim few that aren't able to offer these types of leave benefits. But the vast majority of employers in Colorado, especially your larger corporations, already offer this kind of stuff. And some of them even offer better programs than what this proposition had. But the real catch is down the road. It's the unknown. You know, it's that when you're looking down the road and it's really dark and you can't really see what's down there, that's what's coming. And we know what it looks like in the first 2 years. We have no idea what's going to happen. And I know that a lot of people have done a lot of research in other states to see how they've funded their programs, because there's a handful of states that have done this. And every single one of them so far has been vastly underfunded. And the assumption is that Colorado's following the same mold. It looks like they're playing the same game with the numbers. And this program is going to be very underfunded, which means very quickly they're going to have to start raising the fees.
Well, and
so,
that's
coming, and it's going to hurt really bad.
Well, and you mentioned that there's a number of businesses that already offer that. Do you think that they're going to offer that and have to pay this tax? Those programs?
Thank God they don't. No. Thankfully, the one decent thing that happened out of this thing is they will, if they can show that they have a better program, they can get a waiver. And they don't have to do both.
Oh, I did not realize.
Well, I will say,
okay,
a lot of companies are just going to say to heck with it, and they're just going to dump their plan, and they're going to go by the state mandate. It's easier. It's more simple. They don't have to worry about it, right? Plus, it could save them some money, because you look at your employees and say, hey, this is what the state mandates, so that's what we're going to offer. Whereas right now, they're offering more of a Cadillac-type program, and their employees are actually getting a better deal. Some of those folks may actually lose those benefits. But you do have the ability, thankfully, at least that was the original proposal. Doesn't mean it can't change down the road. But you do have the ability to go in and say, hey, look, I offer, and this is really for the larger companies, right? These big folks can go in and say, hey, we do a better job. We offer a better leave policy. Can we just continue to do ours? And the director will be able to.
Of course.
Yeah, sure.
The director.
You're in compliance.
Yeah, the director can pick
better, so go ahead.
Pick winners and losers. Oh, my gosh.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Roger Hayes, stay on the line. We're going to go to break and come back and talk about a couple of other issues. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is a great sponsor of mine and a place you should do your Christmas shopping for that person you don't know what to get for Christmas. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. So whether or not it's a new kitchen knife set, steak knives, could be a knife for a sportsman or a collector. Go to castlegate.com for more information. And they are also bringing in some very cool lines of watches. So check out castlegate.com, or this weekend, just go down to Castlegate. They're located right there in Sedalia, Colorado. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue with Roger Hayes, owner of Premier Employer Services.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
We wish you the merriest, the merriest, the merriest, the merriest.
And Christmas to each and every one of you. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is a partner of the Kim Munson Show, and that is Roger Hayes. He is the owner of Premier Employer Services, and it's just great to have you on the line. You know so much about all of these issues for people that are trying to create business and create jobs. And our last segment was very important. There's a couple of other things that people should be taking a look at, and that is these increased unemployment taxes. Obviously, with the COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption, there are a lot. There are people that are unemployed, and somebody has to pay for that, Roger.
Right, and the state, during the last legislative session, the Division of Unemployment was able to secure through the legislature an automatic increase in the wage base, so that's going to impact employers as we go forward because they're going to pay that unemployment tax on more and more money as we go. And then as of right now, Colorado's been very good in holding the line, not charging employers for the COVID unemployment claims. But the fund is bankrupt at this point, pretty bad. And so there is a possibility that that's going to have to change as well. So unemployment insurance rates are potentially going to really start going up in order to cover the costs on all this. The other big issue that you and I have coming up, and this one is the one that's looming on January 1st, is the new Pay Equity Act. And this is really important for employers to get ready for because it's just a couple of weeks away.
Is that legislation that's going to be proposed, or where's that at exactly?
The Pay Equity Act actually passed the legislature a couple of sessions ago, and it is scheduled to take effect January 1st, 2021. All employers in the state of Colorado must comply with the provisions of the new Pay Equity Act beginning in just a couple of weeks. And that has implications for a lot of folks because you are no longer allowed to pay one employee a wage that is less than what you're paying other employees of different sex for the same or substantially similar work. Obviously, that it was a move where there's that conviction that women are paid far less than men. And in Colorado, as of January 1, for the same work, you have to pay all your employees the same, basically the same salary base, regardless of their sex. You're also not allowed on your applications to ask any questions about an applicant's salary history. So you're not able to base your hiring decisions on what they were making at a previous job. You just have to pick a number and make that offer and hope that it's above what they were making before.
This is not the proper role of government. An employer, two people should be able to come together and negotiate a deal. You work for me, I'll pay you this. The person can say, I don't want to work for you for that. And then the employer might say, well, I'll pay you some more. And they'll say, okay. Or the employer may say, this is what it is. It needs to, we got to get government out of this. And I know it's huge right now. But that is not the proper role of government. Roger, we're out of time. What's your final thought that you would like to leave with our listeners?
Well, with the shakeup, the way the state is kind of set up right now, with total domination by one party is never good, whether it's Republicans or Democrats. And right now, the Democratic Party has pretty good, solid control on both houses of the legislature, the governor's office, and every single elected office in the state on the state level. That's going to pose a lot of really problematic issues going forward. And employers need to pay attention to what's going on in Denver at the Capitol, because we're far from done. There's a lot of proposals that are going to continue to increase costs and become very problematic. So my last thought is just stay alert, pay attention, and compliance is going to become a huge issue for employers in Colorado as we go forward.
Okay.
It's just going to become more and more difficult.
So check out Premier Employer Services. Merry Christmas, Roger Hayes, to you and yours.
Merry Christmas to you guys, too, you and Steve and everybody else there. Same as Patty.
Okay. Thanks so much. And Robert Schuller said, when faced with a mountain, I will not quit. I will keep on striving until I climb over, find a pass through, tunnel underneath, or simply stay and turn the mountain into a gold mine with God's help. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Young, like a new moon rising, fierce, through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell